Hello guys, welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of The Office Podcast, and we're still recording from home via technology, and I'm not alone as usual. I am with Kia. Hello Kia, how are you?
Hi Lai, how are you doing?
I'm good. Unfortunately guys, Lela is not with us today. She's having a personal emergency that she had to attend to, but she'll be back very, very soon. Let's kick it off with KYC, Know Your Continent. I know this is Lela's section, but let me get in a bit. But just staying in touch with what we are talking about, obviously what we're in, which is the national lockdown due to COVID-19. We want to keep it in that realm of like figuring out what our different African governments are doing with in terms of COVID-19 and where we stand in different African countries, obviously.
So Botswana has announced that it was closing all its cross borders effective on the 24th of March, and they have installed a 28-day lockdown. They've recorded one death so far, and about four confirmed cases, and Zimbabwe's currently confirmed 9 cases of COVID-19. Haven't recorded any deaths yet. Africa in its totality has recorded about, 7,080 cases to date, and that is date of recording, which is Friday the 3rd of April. South Africa, obviously, we're under a 21-day lockdown. Not that it's going very well, because I'm seeing a lot of leniency now being pushed by the government. Some changes to the lockdown have been implemented. Of course, we do have to be cognizant of the fact that lower LSM groups or lower earning groups are a little bit more affected by this than the middle to higher income earners. And that's a bit of a challenge. However, we have noticed that the 21-day lockdown has somewhat helped slow down the number of infections reported. But we do also have to be cognizant of the fact that the number of tests being done aren't as quick or as fast as the European countries report or do test. So we're not out of danger yet. A lot of the rhetoric has been close to the fact that we might extend the lockdown as well in South Africa. So let's hope for the best. If you want to get some more figures, or maybe let's just look at some of the other figures that we do have. So Algeria, it seems, has about 986 confirmed cases. Burundi is sitting at 3, surprisingly. Cameroon is sitting at 306 confirmed cases. And surprisingly, Egypt, who was leading Africa, that was at 865 confirmed cases, and we've actually surpassed.
Does that mean that we're actually in the lead now?
We are in the lead. Ola, you back?
I'm back.
We couldn't hear you. Sorry.
No, I know. I know my internet technology.
Okay, guys. So we do apologize. These things will happen. We are recording via Zoom. Nonetheless, we will continue. Libya sitting at 10. And Kenya sitting at 110. I don't know what you think, Lai, but personally, I think Africa isn't doing as badly as our European counterparts. And if anything, I think we're in the most dangerous position to be in where COVID-19 is concerned, because we don't all, as African states, have the ability to fight the virus. One, because of issues around our healthcare systems. Not all African countries have sufficient healthcare systems.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think like we are obviously doing a little bit better, but I think that what is key for our government to take heed of is to actually be quick with implementing, lack of a better term, safety measures. Because I think our president was really good with doing that. Because had they not done that, you know, like on the 15th of March, I think, like when it was declared, national disaster, and, you know, just like making people stay at home and, you know, just taking extra precaution, I think would have been in greater trouble right now. And also a lot of tourists come in and out of South Africa. So it's a bit riskier here than it is in like other small countries that do not get as much tourist traffic as we do. So I think, you know, in as much as we're doing better, but I think like African governments need to make sure that they lock down as fast as they can if they haven't. And if they do, they need to be very stringent and strict about movement and just making sure that we contain it as much as we can.
You know, an interesting article I was reading yesterday about Nigeria is the fact that the rich groups of Nigeria are no longer able to obviously travel overseas to seek medical attention. So now they're forced to utilize health services in their own country, which is actually not in good condition. So this is also a bit of a lesson to African leaders to get their house in order. And I'm surprisingly as well, I must say, also that our government has actually done well, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I might not necessarily have full view of all the parts or elements of the lockdown or the efforts done, but I think we've done a sterling job.
But, you know, like, a lot of people give our president, like, a lot of grief, but I think he's actually done the best he could considering the circumstances. And I think the government has moved quite swiftly. And I think together also as a country, I think we're rallying behind each other and trying to keep each other, you know, like, accountable and, you know, and motivated and just making sure that, you know, because there's also another side to this, right? And I might be diverting from our topic a little bit, but then there's also another side to this is that, you know, there's a lot of like bad news that we're consuming, and I think like there's been some lightheartedness when you troll Twitter and you see what people are talking about that has, you know, made everything all doom and gloom. And I think in as much as we're talking about deaths, we need to start speaking about the stories of recovery and all of that, which I'll touch on when we get to tea time.
Awesome. So we've actually got tea time as well, guys. So that's awesome. But I think that's it for today for Know Your Continent. I know this is not the format that we normally have it in, but, you know, keeping in touch with what's happening on the ground, we thought it might be worth it to actually touch on what's happening around the continent. And with every episode, we'll do a bit of an update to look at what, like Lighten says, what recovery numbers are looking like, what other measures have been put in place, and what other fun stuff people are actually doing during the 21 lockdown. So that was Your Continent.
Exactly. And now, Gia, may you please take us into our main topic for today, which is upskilling during the COVID-19 national lockdown. What do you have for us?
So today we're actually going to discuss upskilling during this period, because, I mean, what else can you do outside of work during the 21-day lockdown? So after the quick break, I'm going to introduce our guest today, because you know what? On the Office Podcast, we make sure that we get the right people to speak to us on specific topics because, well, right, our country has a wealth of knowledge and people who know more about a lot of these topics anyway. So after the break, I'm going to introduce our guest and our topic for the day. Welcome back to the Office Podcast, guys. So today's topic, like Lighten mentioned, is upskilling during the COVID-19 national lockdown. Firstly, this was a very anxious moment for me when this happened. I think I didn't realize the severity until it actually happened. This was massive. But like, I think those are my most anxious moments ever. But I needed to completely understand what a lockdown meant. And just for some context, a lockdown is an emergency protocol that usually prevents people and information from leaving an area. And in our case, we're trying to contain the COVID-19 virus from spreading. And that is why we didn't want a lot of people or majority of people in public, and only essential services were allowed to be in public, or if we needed to go out, the only thing we could get were essential goods such as groceries. The SA government had announced the lockdown and has officially gazetted it, so you can actually go and go to www.cogta.gov.za if you want to see the gazetted form of the actual lockdown rules and regulations. Follow the social media accounts as well, but there's a website that is actually being created that you guys need to follow, and that's where all the official information is. So let's try and avoid fake news or spreading fake news, guys, as much as possible. I can't stress this enough. But essentially, all it means is that we just shouldn't leave the house unnecessarily. It's not a holiday. A lot of us will still be required to work. And even if you don't have to work, because not all jobs require people to be working remotely, this is an opportunity for us to possibly upskill, take a new initiative, you know, for our own growth and our own careers, or just take an initiative to learn about new skills. And obviously this is because training facilities will not be operational for a while, and until the government can contain the virus. So we wouldn't want to miss out on opportunities to be greater than we are every day. But Lytton and I won't be tackling this topic on our own. We have someone who's well-versed in this topic. Lytton and I aren't the most well-versed, so, you know, we need to add someone to the topic with a wealth of knowledge on this topic. And so I found, we found Nomazibulo Changam, who is the co-founder and managing director of Ziana Business Consulting and Training. She holds a national diploma and BTEC in human resources management that she qualified from the Nelson Mandela University. She also has a postgraduate in business administration from the UCT Business School. She also holds an executive development program qualification from the Wits Business School.
Started out qualified.
Yeah, girl, we must respect her, okay?
Qualified.
Started her career at Coca-Cola as an HR graduate, right? But her list of experience is so long, she ended up becoming Bitvest Steiner's HR and Transformation Director. So you don't just get such a title, right? And she has since become popular for her people and training management skills, but also she's known as Baby Issy's cool mom on Instagram. Side note. She's super passionate about gender transformation, accelerating the growth of women in leadership, mentorship, talent management, and organizational development. And a cool fun fact about Nomazibulo, she was actually a Chica blogger. So you guys might know her as CEO from Chica. So if you ever want to go back to the Chica blog, you'll see a few of her articles that she's written. You'll notice that she's on brand, and that's why we brought her onto the show. Yes. So Nomazibulo, known as Theo, welcome to the Office Podcast.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Layton, and good afternoon, Kia. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And how are you doing today in this lockdown? I know you have three little ones. How's that going, trying to work from home with three little babies?
I know, hey, especially a 12-year-old, a 6-year-old, as well as a 6-month-old. So
wow.
It's hectic.
But I feel like you're coping.
My mom is managing it. Yes, no, I am coping. I've kind
do
of.
Do you have some help in this?
Yes, I do. I would not be able to live without a helper. And thank God, my helper is like family now. She's been with us for like 6-7 years. And, yeah, and she's a person that took care of us while we were growing up. So she's part of us.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. I think you're blessed. Not many people actually have that opportunity. So I think you're doing a great job. Well then, I hope things start looking up soon, because I think everyone is tired of being in the house so far. But
I know.
But just to touch on, or starting the topic, I just wanted to find out from you, as the owner or co-founder of a business that focuses on training and development, why did you decide to focus on training as a service for your business and consultancy?
Okay. Firstly, I must mention that skills development has always been a passion of mine. Mm. Ever since I was introduced to human resources, that's the element that drew me to human resources management. It was all about people development, so I'm quite passionate about that. As well, skills development in South Africa is considered as a critical component of transformation and economic growth. By expanding on that, as you may be aware, that previously disadvantaged individuals who did not get an opportunity to access higher education, such as colleges, universities, through skills development and the initiative and the drive that government has on a national skills priorities, they are now able to tap into those, and they can be, assisted in terms of upskilling. So it's mainly for that. Also, skills development is there to redress, skills shortages in South Africa, especially critical skills that have been mentioned by the Department of Labor. Critical skills such as engineering skills. You would understand when it comes to the example of Eskom, how most of our talent has gone overseas, and now we are stuck, with talent that is not there. So redressing those skills shortages becomes then priority.
Just so, the issue of brain drain does affect South Africa massively then?
Yeah, it does, yes.
So what does Nziana do to fill that gap? What other services do you guys offer to help the country then, you know, support those skills shortages?
Okay. Because of my passion in skills development, I then founded Nziana Business Consulting and Training. Mm-hmm. So it's a people management solution. So we offer people management solutions to, you know, big, small, medium enterprises. So we've worked a lot with big corporates when it comes to skills development. As I've mentioned initially that skills development is considered as a critical component of transformation. So we understand currently in South Africa where we are with transformation and where we need to drive transformation. So that has then given us as training providers, you know, an opportunity to tap into transformation and assisting organization, get their transformation in order through upskilling and skills development. So that's how critical it is. So that's what we do as Nziana. So we partner with corporates in ensuring that they implement effectively their learnerships. They implement internships, graduate programs, you know, workplace readiness programs, etc. So those are then the initiative, as well as upskilling as part of, you know, closing a skills gap in employees internally. So we assist organization in ensuring that that process runs smoothly and, of course, also adhering to the BBBE transformation in South Africa.
Okay. So can you as an expert paint a picture for us then on how COVID-19 has affected the learning and development space entirely?
The world of work is generally affected by COVID-19 in its entirety. So training and development is then no exception to that. It has affected our business because we found that most of the trainings that we do are learnerships, internships. So that require a lot of face-to-face interaction, you know. On a learnership that runs for 12 months, you've got 30% of, you know, in-class face-to-face interaction in a year. And then you've got 70% of practical, meaning you are deployed into an organization to do practicals. But in that, you need to make sure that you meet with your mentor every month in order for you to do your POE, which is your portfolio of evidence. So in its entirety, a learnership, is face-to-face human interaction. So it meant that, the organizations that we work with postpone, others cancel the training initiatives that we were busy with up until the lockdown, or up until at least we managed to sustain the spread of COVID, of the virus. So that has what has affected us. So it means also that when organizations have, you know, postponed or canceled the training initiatives, there won't be any revenue coming in, because, you know, we get paid for the service that we render. So it kind of puts entrepreneurs and training providers at a very difficult situation that we have to make sure that we go into our savings and to try and maintain the office in terms of salaries and operational expenses.
Lai, do you have any question?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Nziana, what are you offering any services during the national lockdown, or are you not at all, or has it due to the challenges of not having to, you know, to be out in like the national lockdown? Is there anything that you're offering online that that some of your clients might be interested in, or have you thought in that space, considering that this might go on a bit longer than we anticipate?
Okay. Fortunately for us, as a people management solutions provider, we not only provide learning and development to our clients, we also provide recruitment, we also provide payroll management, we also do organizational development, etc. So your general HR services that we offer. Mm-hmm. So this is only one department that is affected. As an example, in the recruitment space, we're still doing, offering our recruitment services. So we're still out there doing doing our talent search, ensuring that we get the talent and providing the clients with the, you know, ideal candidates. But however, we're not doing face-to-face interviews now. We're doing, you know, your virtual interviews via Zoom. Yeah. You know, some of them we do via Microsoft Teams, etc. So there is that that's happening. So we are working every day with my team in the office. However, we will be working from home. In terms of the training, we are in talks with my team in terms of developing, you know, your e-learning, which is something that we've started talking about even prior the COVID-19 pandemic. Your e-learning, your webinars, you know, your virtual training sessions, etc. However, I think it's very important to analyze the digital readiness of corporate South Africa. Because you find that as small training providers, we can be geared and ready, you know, to tackle your virtual training or digitalization, but big corporate is not ready to receive them. So then you ask yourself, then what's the point of you starting with all this virtual training if no one is going to buy into the services? So we are in the process now of assessing the digital readiness of the big corporates, especially as well as our own, you know, digital readiness to offer these services. It depending on each industry, and I must say, because we work a lot with the CETAs when it comes to internships and learnerships, and I do think that CETAs still have a long way to go when it comes to that. However, this has then, you know, stimulated discussions for accelerated innovation in terms of online training and e-learning with the government and relevant stakeholders with the whole skills development in South Africa.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just one more question, Kia, sorry. Don't you think that as one of the like one of the things that have come out of this has been a lot of corporate companies just assessing how much they are digitally savvy and also how much they need to get into the digital space in order for them to actually work if anything like this ever rises again? Have you got, do you think that's actually, in as much as it's a bit of a challenge for you now and for a lot of people, obviously for a lot of companies, for a lot of employees and employers, do you think that is actually a good thing to come out of this? Because after this, people will start looking at some of the services that you're planning to start, like your e-learning, a bit differently and perhaps give it more more of a chance than they would have if this hadn't happened.
I fully agree with you. However, even though we are noted to be reactive, not proactive, because these things have always been there, you know, your digital learning have always been there, your e-learning has always been there, your webinars have always been there. However, it was not well received because we used to the traditional way of, you know, learning and development. So there is something positive that came out of, you know, this lockdown and this pandemic. However, we are now becoming reactive, trying to fight fires and ensuring that, you know, we survive at the end of the day. However, I think going forward, organizations are going to start to look at, you know, their digital readiness and put proactive measures in place in order to make sure that such pandemics, that, you know, future, you know, crises that come, they are ready and they, you know, they become proactive instead of them being reactive. So I think it is good that it happened. It's teaching us a lesson. Remember the digital disruptors such as your fourth industrial revolution, your artificial intelligence, your digitalization. We've always been talking about them, but now the question has always been, are we ready to start to implement them? And this is an opportunity now because it's forcing us through this crisis.
Yes, makes sense. I think when you speak about digital readiness, for me as well, being in South Africa, the issue for me becomes data and internet connection. I know one thing I've picked up is not everyone has access to Wi-Fi at home, for example. So it, you know, it does raise the question: is are we really ready to take on this next level as our go-to? I definitely do think that we still need that face-to-face interaction as well, because until we get our internet sorted, I mean, you know, we have the likes of MTN who've already started slashing their data prices, but what about all the other internet service providers? Do we anticipate or would we wish to see data dropping so that we can actually access these platforms? Because, I mean, I'd like to think I need internet to actually access these online learning platforms. I don't know what you guys think.
No, definitely, Kia, you do need, you know, data to access all these digital platforms. However, like I'm saying, I guess, you know, government will have to reprioritize in terms of going forward when it comes to the national development plan of South Africa. They need to ensure that they prioritize digitalization as well as the fourth industrial revolution. It's something that they've always talked about. And I know when I read the top priorities of government last year, the fourth industrial revolution was one of the 10 top priorities. Digitalization was one of the top 10 priorities. They've started, you know, making some, you know, strides here and there, but I guess there's a lot that needs to be done. Data is expensive, and even we've seen the likes of Vodacom dropping the data. Actually, yesterday I loaded data, you know, from Vodacom because I'm a Vodacom user, and it was still expensive. But this morning when I tried to upload or buy data, I found that the drop actually became effective. So I'm quite chuffed with that. I'm quite excited about that because they've dropped, you know, the data price. But I mean, it's something that government has to look at in its, you know, in its entirety with all the stakeholders involved.
Makes sense. And then are there any trends you're noticing from an online training perspective around the globe, especially now with lockdown? I know China wasn't already in a lockdown. Hong Kong's going back into a lockdown. America's still practicing social distancing, as they call it. But are you seeing any spikes or any trends at the moment with online training platforms?
I am. I had a meeting with my team this morning for about 2 hours. And one of the things that we've been picking up a lot are webinars. There's a lot of training providers offering, you know, free webinars, as well as virtual training sessions. I was also invited to participate into an e-learning session by another training provider. You know, there's Google Classrooms that we need to look at. There's Podia that is becoming, you know, accessible. So all these tools, you know, all these digital tools are coming out, and I'm kind of liking where we're going. Like I'm saying, the crisis is forcing us to think outside the box in order for us to, you know, to implement these courses online. So I'm quite excited about the future, really, especially myself in the training space and being passionate about training, you know. We will also be doing our first webinar sometime next week. So watch out for that on the Ziyana page.
Awesome stuff. Lai, do you have any questions?
No, not really. I think I'm like so satisfied with what we've covered so far. And I think just like to add on to what we were talking about earlier, I think there's like a really great deal on us, on the government actually, like not only South Africa, but like the African government working on the infrastructure when it comes to, you know, Wi-Fi and the internet and availability. Because if this goes on for any time longer, and not only for any time longer, but also if something like this has to rise again, it's going to have like such an impact on the economy as we have seen that we need to be prepared so that, you know, the backbone of the economy at least tries to stay as productive as they can be, you know, whoever can be in that, you know, in that bracket. So, yeah.
That makes sense. Are you doing any online course, Lai?
No, I actually am not, because believe it or not, my work literally has been busier for me since lockdown than it has been before lockdown.
I can imagine.
I wonder why is that. Most of the people have been experiencing exactly the same.
Yeah.
Have been, you know, experiencing a spike in their workloads or everyday work. I don't know why.
So for me, I'm an advisor. So I work in advisory. I work for a consultancy, and we advise clients. So obviously with the issue of COVID-19, we all went into crisis mode. And this is when our clients need us most. You know, when you in consulting, you need to be that helping hand or that shoulder that your client can lean on. So I think I would assume it would apply to Lai too, because he's in client services. And
exactly.
You know, clients are anxious at the moment. Everyone's like sort of anxious and you want to try and be there for them. But then because you're working from home, you're just like, it's okay. At 7 o'clock, you're like, it's okay. I'll respond to the email. Yet had you been at the office, you would have been offline, you know? So everyone is a little bit anxious, and everyone would, like we're saying in episode one, you know, we're scared of looking like we are relaxing at home and everyone wants to look like they're online and they're busy, even though they're really busy. So it's a bit of it's quite an adjustment, I think, for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. It's that adjustment. I think it's also an adjustment of sometimes, I think, the lack of respect of time from other people, because you are at home. So, you know, like if I need you to do something, it's not like you're going to tell me that I'm going to be out. Like, you are at home. So
exactly.
You're not unavailable.
You're in lockdown. But maybe we should name some of the best online platforms that we've come across. I've recently become well acquainted with Udemy. And I think it's a great choice if you're looking for a very large catalog of courses at a reasonable price. At some stage, they randomly do like courses for $100 or so every now and then.
Interesting.
And I know some corporates do get the Udemy business account for employees. So then that way the organization pays for it and it gives access to some of the employees. It offers something for everyone. There's business development courses, there's finance courses, accounting, designing, marketing, office productivity. But obviously one thing you just need to be careful of on some of these platforms that since practically anyone can become a course instructor on Udemy, try to make sure that you choose courses with high ratings. So look at the ratings, look at the reviews. Just try to maximize your money and time spent learning the new skill. Obviously, business owners can opt for the business account, which will make their lives easier and then just get access to their staff. And then I think another one that's cool for me is a Google Digital Skills for Africa. So you can actually get certified in fundamentals of digital marketing. And Lai, you mentioned something as well to Numazbul about the fact that some skills are rare. So a lot of the digital skills are actually what the country needs at the moment, because we're moving into the
You're breaking, Kia.
Oh, sorry. Am I better now?
You're better.
So I was talking about Google Digital Skills for Africa, and when you guys were having a conversation with Numazbul about the fourth industrial revolution, these are the sort of skills that will be needed in a lot of businesses, digital, and how can we move our businesses digitally? And I think this is what we're now all forced to get into. The nice thing about these digital courses on Google is that they come certified and they're recognized across a lot of the agencies globally. Exactly. Okay. And then we also have Skillshare, and it covers, you know, every imaginable topic. Skillshare includes courses on a large number of technical subjects: business, entrepreneurship, programming, writing, painting, personal branding. You know, so you can either get a monthly or a yearly subscription. Hopefully you can also maybe speak to your organization about implementing some of these courses. LinkedIn Learning also has some stuff that I've heard of. Lilo was actually mentioning to us that at her workplace, they were considering doing some LinkedIn Learning as well. And I've also seen some of the ads coming up. Obviously, you're going to have to pay a monthly or yearly subscription, but it also gives you access, or if you already have like that gold LinkedIn premium account, it will give you access to some of the online courses that they have, so that you can have better career prospects. Then there's Coursera, an extremely popular platform I'm hearing. Coursera is well known for its value and prestige as it collaborates with top universities around the world who are responsible for developing the courses. So if you're wanting to do a master's degree, you can get yourself a Coursera degree. And then there's FutureLearn. This is UK based, offers a top selection of online degrees, free certification courses available on mobile, tablet, and desktop as well. It's owned by Open University, one of UK's long established educational institutions. So I think this is a decent amount of opportunities available. And then, like you've heard, Numazbul was just telling us that Diana will be starting to host a lot of the webinars as well, because unfortunately they've had to cancel and postpone a lot of their training sessions. So South Africa is also speeding up with those webinars, and Thea will get us in touch and give us details on how we can get in touch with those webinars that her organization will be sharing with us. But have you guys I haven't done any of the courses yet personally.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Udemy. I have access to a Udemy account and I'm going to explore. I do want to learn some stuff, but the only thing I've managed, only other skills I've managed to actually gain from this 21-day lockdown so far is cooking. That's all I've looked at on YouTube.
Girl.
So far.
Girl.
And I'm getting around with that.
Yeah, but you know what, like I actually, just to add on to some of the platforms that you listed, I know that the Digital School of Marketing, okay. DSM, are also, they're actually offering cool deals on like all courses. I think it's 50%, no, actually not, I think, I know, it's 50% off all courses during the lockdown special. So if you want to get yourself that diploma, get yourself, you know, that knowledge, of course, if we go off lockdown, then it might, you know, that into back into your normal life, but then it actually is an e-learning platform anyway, so I don't think it will affect life that much. But then it might be a cool thing to consider if you actually are looking forward to study, but then are tied on the finances or just after a great deal. So, and I know like a lot of these like e-learning places are actually offering some discounts during this time. I think it's also like just that way of encouraging people to use this time to actually develop themselves and get to do some of the things that they've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
But back to the platforms that we mentioned, like I'm interested in, of course, like doing like a short course or something, but I think what I want is just making sure that whatever I do is certified and recognized, because you know, I don't know if it's like a personal thing, but I just don't want to invest time in something that, let's say it's recognized at my company, but then I'll move into like another company and then be like, okay, cool, whatever, you know. So I think it's also just for people to take heed of that as they go along. What do you think, Anoma?
I exactly agree with you, Leighton. When it comes to accreditation and courses that are recognized, because remember, anyone can just, you know, go in online and become an instructor. So it's going to be very difficult, you know, if you move from one organization to another and you find that you've got this certification, but it's not recognized or it's not accredited. I did also look at Udemy. I was quite impressed. They offer a lot of variety of courses. However, as Gia would say, I think it's important that you do due diligence in terms of the course that you are going to embark on. If it's your own personal development, you want to upskill or learn a skill, I think by all means go ahead. But I mean, if you want to use it because you want it to be part of your competitive advantage when you're applying for position, you might want to consider something that is accredited. However, for your own personal development, I think go ahead. Like as an example, I've seen that at Udemy, they also offer your Microsoft Office kind of training courses, like your Excel, you know, your Word, your PowerPoint, etc. So for those that want to upskill, that they've never worked with a computer before, I think it's going to be a good idea for you to go in and register, because you're doing it for your own personal development. But I mean, if you are going to have a course that you want to do and you want to use that course as your competitive advantage when applying for positions or looking for career development, it might be a bit of a problem, because organizations are looking for credibility. They need to know that the institutions that you've done the trainings or the development on are, you know, are accredited.
That makes sense. So I think what would be important then is to find out from you, when can we find out some of the then online and webinars details from Ziana? Because it's local, at least we know that it's a trusted source, and we know that we're closer to the host. When can we get the details? Where can people go to find all this information? Is there social media platforms that we can go to, website? Give us all those details and we can share with our listeners too.
Okay, so for all our webinars as well as virtual training sessions, e-learning, you can go to our website, www.zianaconsulting.co.za, and you can also go to our social media pages. Twitter is @HR_Ziana, and Instagram is @HR_Ziana. LinkedIn is Ziana Business Consulting and Training. Facebook, it's Ziana Business Consulting and Training. And also, if you want to engage and connect with me, you can get me on my social media, and you can just search Nomazibulo Changa. You'll be able to get in touch with me.
All right. So I think we're good. I think as one thing that for me that I've taken from the discussion is that there is an opportunity for us to learn constantly. There is an opportunity for us to upskill. No matter what your passion is, try and just, you know, get one level up. I mean, I'm trying to improve on my cooking as well. So I'm using the time to cook, learn new recipes, learn new techniques. I'm also quite keen to get into coding just out of curiosity. So I'll probably even jump into that. Lai, I don't know if there's anything you're interested in that you'll probably jump into.
Yeah, definitely. I think like I'm interested in, like you said, I think it's a similar thing. It's coding. I just like I've got such a keen interest for that. So I think I'll definitely be checking that out, and data science too. So yeah, and I think like to echo your words, this is the perfect time. If you are maybe not that busy, this is the perfect time for you to use this time wisely and invest in yourself, and make sure that when you come out of this, it's, you have like that extra ace up your sleeve. And I think that could be good for all of us, actually.
Yeah. So what we will do, though, is share Nomazibulo's details on our social media platforms. You guys need to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Office Podcast SA. We'll share her details, her profile, the handles on our pages. But you can also use the hashtag The Office Podcast if you want to go. And let us know, guys, if you're doing any of the courses that we have mentioned. Let us know what your experience is. Share your tips with me if you have done something. And let everyone on The Office Podcast in on your secrets. You know, we're all colleagues on this podcast. We're all friends.
Exactly.
So let's help each other out. Tag us if you come across anything. We'll share it on our platform as well. If you've got opportunities, we'll also post some of the information and reshare some of the information that Ziana shares as well on their platforms, so that you guys can have access to their webinars and e-learning platforms. But now we have to say thank you so much, Noma, for spending the time with us on The Office Podcast.
Thank you.
It was a very insightful conversation, and we hope to see more of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, team, for inviting me, and all the best with The Office Podcast. And I must just a last comment from me. I'm very excited that I'm hearing you talking about coding and data scientists. I think that's where the world is going to. So I wish all the best, and I'm hoping that you can learn a skill or two there. But it's definitely something that the world is going to need.
Whoop whoop. So we're on the right track, Lai.
We're on the right track. Definitely.
And we are back at the office on The Office Podcast. Guys, like I mentioned, we have a Twitter and Instagram account, actually. So you guys can follow us on at Office Podcast SA, and always use the hashtag The Office Podcast so that we can share whatever information you have. If you guys actually have some openings that you also want to share, it might actually be a great platform for us to share so that everyone can have access to that. But we are done with the serious issues and want to lighten things up a little bit. So Lai has got some tea for us. I've got my wine. Lai, I'm ready.
I also got my red wine, girl, because it's red wine we're there.
I've got that.
So guys, we are back for tea time. Like, I know on our first episode we didn't have tea time because we're talking about pretty serious stuff, but then we're back to lighten up the mood and also just give you like a little bit of a tip or two on how to cope during this COVID-19 era. So I'll just dive straight into it. Just a note, my tea time is not like as usual today. It's basically tea time for how to keep up with COVID-19.
Yeah.
So, guys, I've found something that is quite interesting and also anxiety-inducing. I don't know if you agree with me here.
Yeah.
But for keeping in touch, guys, there's this fun app, if you don't know it already, but I think most of you will know it, House Party.
Yeah, that one's grown, hey?
It's grown. I actually am interested to know how much their stock has grown during this period, because I swear each and everybody on my contact list has got a House Party.
Right. And the thing about it is, a House Party is old. Like, I know people who were fooling around with House Party like 3-4 years ago, and It's amazing how now coronavirus has just made everyone go back to basics. Like, okay, guys, we're just going to go back to the basics. And now we're all on house party.
It's so crazy. But you know what I hate about it? It's the fact that you, the constant messaging of like knowing who's in the house.
Oh, and same here.
People getting into the house at 7 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, don't you have work to do?
That is me in the morning at 7, 6. People are like, going in the house. I don't even know how to switch those notifications off. I'm just like,
it's so crazy.
But you know what also I don't like how people can jump into your conversation. Like,
exactly. You can actually lock it. Yeah. You can actually lock the conversation, which is available, but then still, it's like, you know, you have to be thinking about that every time you have a conversation, which is like so unnecessary. Like, I just hate how you have random people jumping into your conversations. It's really, really, really weird.
It's so
weird. I just feel like it's such pressure sometimes. I was playing a game with friends of mine that are very competitive, and I swear, I was just like, this is stressful. We're already stressed, and I don't need to be more stressed about life right now.
The cool thing about it is that I enjoy the game. So you're actually the person that put me on this, and then my friends and I started playing games last week. And it was hilarious. It was fun. I loved it.
It definitely is fun. You know, like all the craziness aside, I think it's such a great app to use for us to actually stay in touch and stay connected, especially for people who stay alone, like myself. Like, I feel like it has added a bit of, like, value to my life and how I stay connected with people. And also not just connected, like, speaking on the phone or texting. It's just actually, like, you know, playing games and doing all and having, like, a multiple chat with people, so that has been great.
That's awesome.
Exactly. So, and guys, so for musical experiences, I discovered this last Sunday, and I was booging down in my living room, so I had so much fun. On YouTube, there is a Stay Home With Me. So it's basically a series of concerts by different artists. It's, you know, music experiences. There's a lot of artists that have done all this, like, at-home concerts for their fans, and they stream it on their social media. So just Google, like, Stay Home With Me on YouTube. You'll be able to find out which artists have done some or which artists are coming up. And one of the artists that I actually enjoyed was like Nadia Nakai. I know she's done one, and also Bongeziwe did one, which is didn't go really great with the connection, but then I think he's making up for it this weekend, so that's going to be great. So just like peep in there and check it out, and I think it's going to be fun,
especially with all these parties. These DJs are also hosting these lockdown parties online, so people can almost have a little bit of a jam session in their lounge.
Exactly, you know, like, you don't need to go to Taboo. Taboo is right in your lounge. So, there you
can
go.
Can Taboo not listen to this podcast?
You know, and then also for if you want to keep healthy and, you know, exercise, I will be sharing a lot of more information about the different trainers. But one person that I also know, Lelo, has actually done a session with him online, has been Mika Stefano. Mm-hmm. He's doing this Train Home With Me, and we know he does like the Sweat 1000 class, so he's doing that online, and he's doing like some celebrities, and I think it's like it's quite great to keep active, and I feel like it also keeps you accountable if you actually have to join something and not be like, oh, I'm gonna exercise, because I've been doing it, like, I think I did 3 days in a row, and I just fell off the wagon. So, you know, just, and also keeps it exciting, you know.
How do I know when those classes are online?
So for Mika, just go to his Instagram page, it's at Mika Stefano. I know he has one. I think it's every day at 11 a.m. if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, damn, that's
like
cool.
Check it out. Yeah, but which is really, really, really cool. I don't know about 11 a.m. if you're working, though, so it might be a bit inconvenient for you. But then I think just like try and see if there's another time that you come on to. Yeah, exactly. And then another thing that I discovered, which is actually like quite important considering that we're living in this corona age, is two accounts on Instagram that actually speak about being living corona positive. And it's one is actually called Living Corona Positive. It's started by a family who are down in Cape Town, and they've been documenting their journey since they were diagnosed. And I know two of the family members have been cleared so far, but they share tips and, like, you know, your symptoms, how you're feeling, like, you know, could you have it, like, how you take care of yourself, like, what you should eat, what you should avoid, and all of that. So it's quite informative. And, like, what I also like about it is that I think there's this whole thing that if you get it, you're going to die, that we're all afraid of. So it's good to see people that actually have corona and progress. And they're actually like, they seem like pretty normal. Of course, they're in pain and like, you know, they're going through like a lot of symptoms or whatever. But you can see that they're getting better. And I think that's like something that's hopeful that we can, you know, we can see and watch. And yeah, and also another person who's living corona positive that I really, really like is Naledi Khadebe, who's Lady G, and she's also been documenting stuff. And I like how open she has been for herself, considering that she's you know, the only one. Okay, her mother has it now, but then like, she's been quite open, and you know, and she's I think she's like pretty real, and it's like it's quite nice because she's, you know, she's like this influencer who's like, you know, just big on travel and fashion, and I think it's sort of like humanized her for some of us who think like we might have felt like it's a bit too aspirational, but it's, you know, it's been quite good to see her sharing some of her stuff and actually like encouraging people to share what they are also feeling and, you know, what symptoms they have. Mm-hmm. So that's been quite good. But off to something fun. So Kia, tell me, what are you watching?
What was I watching? So I finished Love is Blind. I'm currently in season 12 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I watched some Marvel movies last week. And I need to just figure out what I'd go on for this weekend. Actually, I don't actually have anything for this weekend, so what can I watch?
Cool. So I've got you covered. So here's some recommendations for me. I'm not going to recommend like the whole Bible, but it's just like a few loves for me. And I'm glad that you're watching Love is Blind. And honestly, you are late on that because...
No, I'm done. It's over. I'm done.
I'm saying we watched it before Corona.
True, so you were late. True.
But if you have Showmax, guys, like Knots and Crosses has been quite an interesting series for me to watch. And it's with Bonneville. So, of course, yeah.
Oh, it's local.
Countryman, yeah. No, it's not local, actually. It's an international series.
Oh,
it's actually a BBC series. But Bonnie is there because boss actress, yes.
Okay, girl.
But it's actually quite interesting. Like, I'm not going to spoil it, so I won't speak much about the premise of the show. But it's basically, like, Knots and Crosses is almost like Blacks and Whites. And in reverse. So imagine if we, as Black people, were treated with all the privilege that white people are treated with. So it's basically like almost of a reverse. So it's actually quite interesting to see. So yeah. So check that out.
Okay.
And if you have Netflix and if you still haven't watched, please watch Queen Sono. I don't know what your thoughts are, Kia.
I haven't watched it.
Like Queen Sono. You should watch it. I think it's actually quite like a brilliant production. I think it's like it's got very, very international.
Mm-hmm.
Still to it, it's like it's very world class. I think like the way it was shot, it's like your homeland. It's, you know, it's very like it's very, very good. And Pearl Tissue was actually quite great on it. And as much as people like throw shade at her acting skills, like I think she was great at it. And also there's this boy Katsu.
Tell us more.
Ooh, girl, he had. Oh my God, like he is so hot. But then he's also a good actor. So like, let me not take his attention out of his talent. Okay. But he's eye candy. He's eye candy. He's good. He's good. So just watch Queen Sono and also on Netflix for my sins, guys. I started watching Tiger King. I swear it's like trailer trash wretchedness on another level.
I'm avoiding all the tweets about it so that I don't get spoilers.
Oh,
so
my God.
I've muted it so that I can watch it and laugh and see what's
going on. I actually don't know if you're going to laugh or you're going to be traumatized, because I don't know if I was laughing or traumatized half of the time. So, but you know what? If you want to, like, side-eye anything, just, like, watch it. You just
Tiger
can side-eye.
Yeah,
Tiger King. Yes. Yeah. And then I also... You know, staying at home and figuring out how much money you save with not going out. I got myself Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Which I didn't have before. And I watched this series. So it's called Modern Love. What it is basically like based off a column of the New York Times. Mm-hmm. So it's a column by this writer of the New York Times. So they take the stories and they actually develop them into like this series. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful series. Like, I think you should watch it. It's very, like, warm, it's very like artistic, it's lovely, it's beautiful, it's nuanced, it's really great. Like, I might be biased, but then I really, really loved it. So if you want something like a little mushy, something like Cuddle Worth a vibe, watch it. I think you'll
okay.
like it.
The cheesy stuff, I think I'll probably watch that on my own. I don't know anyone that would want to watch cheesy stuff with me.
Oh, I mean, like, it's not cheesy like slapstick cheesy, but it's very like it's telling love stories with like such artistry and such depth, so which is quite great.
Is there actually like a free 30 days or something that I can play around with? I'm gonna try that out.
It's a free 7 days, girl. Try it out, definitely.
I'm gonna try it out.
Try it out.
Got it.
And also, just to round this off, because I feel like I have like so much recommendations for this week, but I am currently listening to Bongezi Mabandla's album, Imini. I think I'm saying it right. It's got a double I, so I'm like, how do you actually pronounce it? Imini.
And look, I'm the last Mini, person to ask know? Because I speak Setswana, so
I know, because yeah, no. I'm like, yeah, I speak Zulu, but I know it's closer, so, but I'm like, you know, I should at least be able to pronounce that. But it's such a great album. It was actually a number one album on iTunes when it was released. So he's great for him. It's such a great album. Someone on Instagram, if you're listening, shout out, because I'm not going to give you a little bit of fame. But they described the album. It's so funny because I actually know the person, so they're going to think that I'm being shady. But they actually described the album that it sounds like a prayer, and that's actually the best description that I've had about that album. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. So also remember to support like local talent in these times and local stores. So please get yourself some Bongezi. And just to run it all off, guys, what are you doing, Gab, besides learning how to cook and eating too much like me?
So I'm on weekends. So I try, because I've tried to keep a routine, I still do the cleaning on the weekend. So the cleaning, laundry, all that domestic stuff will always happen on the weekend. And then on the daily, it's literally just, it's work. It's podcasting. Trying to read up on COVID-19. So there's always something happening. I'd need to, and then exercise where I can. Definitely a lot of cooking. Had karaoke last night, but I'd need to try and fill my time in a little bit more with some other stuff maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Like something quite different. Like I just think like people, you know, like I'm the worst at this, but I think we need to do like, you know, clean out our cupboards if we actually have been meaning to, like clean out our pantry, that closet, like rearrange stuff, like, you know, spruce up things, do like a whole spring cleaning, learn a new skill. Like, I think it also lends to what we were talking about earlier, be it in the kitchen, be it doing your own hair. Yeah, I'm talking
Ooh,
to you.
Oh, I have to do that. Oh my God. I have to, like, I did my own manicure last week. It was hot. It's looking horrible already. I need to wash my own hair. I don't know when. I've never washed my own hair in my entire adult life. I've always run to the hair salon or have someone else wash it. So I need to wash my hair this weekend. So that's going to be interesting. I've gotten some tips from my friend Mbumi. Shout out Mbumi.
Yeah.
She gave me some tips. I got products before the lockdown, I got some products. So I'm going to play around with that. I've never done it before, and I have natural hair, so it's the worst thing to have to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
But wish me luck, guys. I will try and take some pictures and post those.
Well, good luck. Isn't it interesting how when we get out of this, how would have gained some skills and people that weren't self-sufficient
exactly.
will actually be quite well-versed with how to take care of themselves better. So it's actually quite an interesting thing.
And you know, when we say upskill, people maybe think we're talking about constantly looking at spreadsheets, Excel spreadsheets, or but there's different ways that we upskill. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be focused on your job, on your day-to-day job. It can be something something totally different. You might even come out there a nail technician. You might come out 21-day lockdown a hairdresser, you know, do that as a side hustle. You know, there's different ways that we're upskilling.
Exactly, especially after this, you know, after coming out of this with the economy, we all will need like that extra source of income. So, you know, you might be upskilling in your side hustle. Definitely agree with you. And my last question for tea time, guys. Yeah, answer
I'm
this
here.
For me.
I'm here.
Have you succumbed to TikTok?
I haven't succumbed to TikTok yet, so I don't have an actual app on my phone to act on it, but I'm on the app almost every day because I want to see what people are getting up to, and the you know, the videos fascinate me so much. Like, I really enjoy watching TikTok, but I haven't brought myself to literally starting my own account. But it's so fun. I love it. It looks fun. I see Drake's also released a song now, so I'm pretty sure he's doing that for TikTok. But like, I'm loving TikTok. Do you have a TikTok account?
I actually do. Like, I just, because of, you know, like, the nature of work that I do, I need to keep up to date with everything that goes on, like, the social sphere. So, I do have, like, definitely have an account. But I have to say that I actually haven't been using anything at all. I haven't been using it at all because I was like, you know, it's like, I actually can't. Sorry, like, I was saying that I actually haven't used my account at all. I think I only have one video. But I am tempted, guys, because it is very, very late on TikTok. Like, everybody's TikToking, and it's, I keep on, like, finding myself this close to making a video. But it's if lit. You are making any TikTok videos, or if you've got anything that you want to share with us that we should be watching, we should be keeping in touch with, we should be listening to, exercise channels that are quite interesting, please do share them with us on our social media channels at Office Podcast SA, or use our hashtag the Office Podcast, and please just keep us on the know, let us know, and please do share with any also upskilling platforms that you're using that you think are great, that you're willing to recommend, all your experiences. You know, maybe you had a great experience and you want to vouch for something, please do share that. Otherwise, that's tea time for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Lion. That was awesome, guys. And that was episode 2 of season 2 of the Office Podcast. I think, just as a side note, guys, another thing that I'm going to upskill myself on is the application of false lashes. I know. The most unreal thing. Oh my gosh, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you on the flip side. Episode 3 will also be quite interesting, so we look forward to recording that, and we look forward to you hearing that. Until then, it's adios from me.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
See you soon, guys. Bye.